On the morning of the first murder, Miss Muriel Beale, Inspector of Nurse Training Schools to the General Nursing Council, stirred into wakefulness soon after 6 o'clock and into a sluggish early morning awareness that it was Monday, 12th of January, and the day of the John Carpenter Hospital inspection. Already she had half registered the first familiar sounds of a new day. Angela's alarm, silenced almost before she was conscious of hearing it. Angela herself, padding and snuffling about the flat like a clumsy but benevolent animal. The agreeable anticipatory tinklings of early tea in preparation. She forced open her eyelids, resisting an insidious urge to wriggle down into the enveloping warmth of the bed and let her mind drift again into blessed unconsciousness. What on earth had prompted her to tell Matron Taylor that she would arrive shortly after 9 a.m., in time to join the third-year student's first teaching session of the day? It was ridiculously, unnecessarily early. The hospital was in Heatheringfield, on the Sussex-Hampshire border, a drive of nearly 50 miles, some of which would have to be done before daybreak. And it was raining, as it had rained with dreary insistence for the past week. She could hear the faint hiss of car tyres on the Cromwell Road and an occasional spatter against the window pane. Thank God she had taken the trouble to check the map of Heatheringfield to find out exactly where the hospital lay. A developing market town, particularly if it were unfamiliar, could be a time-wasting maze to the motorist in the snarl of commuter traffic on a wet Monday morning. She felt instinctively that it was going to be a difficult day, and stretched out under the bedclothes as if bracing herself to meet it. Extending her cramped fingers, she half relished the sharp momentary ache of her stretched joints. Touch of arthritis there. Well, it was to be expected. She was 49, after all. It was time she took life a little more gently. What on earth had led her to think she could get to Heatheringfield before 9:30? The door opened, letting in a shaft of light from the passage. Miss Angela Burrows jerked back the curtains, surveyed the black January sky and the rain-spattered window, and jerked them together again. "It's raining," she said, with the gloomy relish of one who has prophesied rain and who cannot be held responsible for the ignoring of her warning. Miss Beale propped herself on her elbow, turned on the bedside lamp, and waited. In a few seconds her friend returned and set down the early morning tray. The tray cloth was of starched embroidered linen. The flowered cups were arranged with their handles aligned. The four biscuits on the matching plate were precisely placed, two of a kind. The teapot gave forth a delicate smell of freshly made Indian tea. The two women had a strong love of comfort and an addiction to tidiness and order. The standards which they had once enforced in the private ward of their teaching hospital were applied to their own comfort, so that life in the flat was not unlike that in an expensive and permissive nursing home. Miss Beale had shared a flat with her friend since they had both left the same training school 25 years ago. Miss Angela Burrows was the principal tutor at a London teaching hospital. Miss Beale had thought her the paradigm of nurse tutors, and in all her inspections subconsciously set her standard by her friend's frequent pronouncements on the principles of sound nurse teaching. Miss Burrows, for her part, wondered how the General Nursing Council would manage when the time came for Miss Beale to retire. The happiest marriages are sustained by such comforting illusions, and Miss Beale's and Miss Burrows' very different but essentially innocent relationship was similarly founded. Except in this capacity for mutual but unstated admiration, they were very different. Miss Burrows was sturdy, thick-set, and formidable, hiding a vulnerable sensitivity under an air of blunt common sense. Miss Beale was small and bird-like, precise in speech and movement, and threatened with an out-of-date gentility which sometimes brought her close to being thought ridiculous. Even their physiological habits were different. The heavy Miss Burrows awoke to instantaneous life at the first sound of her alarm, was positively energetic until tea time, then sank into sleepy lethargy as the evening advanced. Miss Beale daily opened her gummed eyelids with reluctance, had to force herself into early morning activity, and became more brightly cheerful as the day wore on. They had managed to reconcile even this incompatibility. Miss Burrows was happy to brew the early morning tea and prepare breakfast, and Miss Beale washed up after dinner and made the nightly cocoa.